KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, it's cloudy and currently 64 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stifel Investments. We look for cloudy skies today, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly this afternoon, at a high of 74. In the news, firefighters in Atlantic responded to a residential fire at 605 East 6th Street Thursday afternoon. The call about smoke coming from the roof came in at around 12:11 p.m. Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese said that when they arrived, there was a lot of smoke coming out of the eaves and the roof vents of the two-story home.
Shortly after we got here, we had a lot of smoke, heavy smoke coming out of the first floor. As we made entry, heavy smoke and flame back in the kitchen area, and that's where the fire was located, but it had extended up into the second floor and then up into the attic. So we did make a ventilation attack and continued interior attack and got it knocked down. And
the chief said that most of the smoke and flames did go up into the chimney area and into the second floor. He said there was heavy smoke and water damage to the home.
Structurally, there's going to be enough. The smoke damage is going to be the worst thing because it filled the entire home, bottom floor too. So there's going to be smoke damage throughout 100%.
No one was inside when crews arrived, but there were three dogs and a cat that were rescued from the structure. The chief said the firefighters hauled out several animals. It's not clear if any animals were lost in the fire. It's also not clear exactly what caused the blaze. Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Kennan said that Misty Amdor and her family reside in the home. Atlantic Fire was recalled to the scene at around 4:20 p.m. when they received a report of a rekindle in the roof area. A Council Bluffs man was arrested on a felony willful injury charge Thursday evening following an incident at 1435 North 15th Street that resulted in a stabbing. Bluffs Police Sergeant Dave Dawson said officers were dispatched to the home at around 7 p.m. for a reported stabbing. When they arrived, they found the victim, 40-year-old Alfonso Wesley of Council Bluffs, suffering from three stab wounds to his lower back. Wesley and the suspect in the case, 52-year-old Bernard Lucas of Council Bluffs, were staying at the house and are known to each other. Dawson said the men were in a sleeping area when Lucas allegedly began to push Wesley. As Wesley was walking away from Lucas pulled out a black folding knife and allegedly stabbed Wesley from behind in the back. Wesley was taken to Mercy Hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. Lucas was booked into the Pottawatomie County Jail. An investigation into the incident continues. A Red Oak man was arrested Thursday afternoon for allegedly trespassing on railroad property. Police say 29-year-old Joshua J. Pedersen was observed walking along the Burlington Northern Railroad tracks just east of J. Avenue on the east side of Red Oak. Pedersen was taken into custody without incident at around 4:20 p.m. and brought to the Montgomery County Jail, where he was being held on $300 bond. A man from Pottawatomie County was arrested Tuesday on drug charges in Cass County. The sheriff's office said yesterday 47-year-old Robert Lee Olwell of Avoca faces felony charges that include two controlled substance violations and a drug tax stamp violation. He was also charged with prohibited acts and aggravated misdemeanor. Olwell was taken to the Cass County Jail, where he remained held on a $35,000 bond. The Cass County Board of Supervisors Thursday approved a change of zoning classification from general agricultural to a light industrial district for a parcel of land in Cass Township on a property owned by Todd Layton. Rich Hansen, zoning administrator and assistant to Cass County Engineer Charles Marker, said the zoning board approved the request at an earlier meeting and recommended the supervisors also approve the change.
Todd Layton purchased, he's got a business already on his property south of Lewis, and he purchased 1.3 acres to the south of his existing property to build a 60-foot by 100-foot cold storage building to keep some of his material in there that he's waiting to build and stuff that he builds to get shipped out. So as far as the traffic, it isn't going to add any more traffic than what's there. He's just cleaning up, keeping everything inside. And the board recommended to approve the change of zoning from general ag to light industrial because it wasn't any other utilities or it met all the guidelines in the zoning book anyways.
In other business, the board approved the placement of outdoor warning signs for the city of Lewis on county-owned property just east of the Lewis School Building. Engineer Charles Marker recommended the request be approved with a stipulation.
We were talking about that triangular area in front of the school that is bounded by G43 and the Lake Road. Did have an opportunity to look at that. Both of the roads have nice drainage ditches, so as long as we simply let them know that they don't obstruct the drainage, they would be outside of our clear zone, as we talk about, for vehicle recovery, and there is a large flat area where the current flagpole and everything is. So, as I say, if we just recommend that they do not obstruct drainage, I think there should be no problem at all with them putting the siren anywhere within that area they would like to put it.
Barker reported also that AM Coron had agreed to delay for about a month the start of construction on a bridge near the Griswold Golf Course. Work wouldn't begin until August the 3rd under a change order Barker must submit and Coron officials sign off on. The delay is designed to allow the golf course to be in operation without diverting traffic on unpaved roads during the busiest part of the golf season. The Board of Supervisors also moved to appoint Dwayne Wyrick of Lewis to fill a Cass Township trustee vacancy term through 2016, and they approved the appointment of Bruce Henderson from Atlantic as commissioner to the Southern Iowa Regional Housing Authority representing Cass County. Taking a look at the funeral announcements this morning, Ora Bill Hugh Babbitt, age 90 of Avoca, died Monday. Funeral services for Bill Babbitt will be today at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Jackie Newberry, age 76 of Greenfield, died Monday. Celebration of life services for Jackie Newberry will be today at 11 a.m. at the Cornerstone Fellowship Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Mark Facer, age 93 of Erling, died Wednesday. A private mass of Christian burial for Mark Facer will be held Saturday tomorrow at the Little Flower Haven in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Thomas George Hoffman, age 68 of Walnut, died Thursday. Graveside services for Thomas Hoffman will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Layton Township Cemetery in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. Quanah Warner, age 63, who's formerly of Adair, died May 20th in Colorado. A visitation for Quanah Warner will be on June the 6th from 1 until 2:30 p.m. at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Marilyn Turner Foster, age 81, died August 10th of 2014. A visitation with her family will be held on June the 5th from 10 until 11 a.m. at the Reekin Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. And Donald Norris, age 70 of Atlantic, died Monday at his home. Cremation has taken place and memorial services for Donald Norris will be held at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.